Scholarship Committee of National Council of Jewish Women. I was asked to serve on the Allegheny County Scholarship Committee, to which I gave a great deal of time. And again here, I became acting chairman because the chairman had to go out of the city for some time. This was an entirely different experience since I was dealing with a much lower economic group with the parents who not always were 100% for higher education, and a generally
the ethnic background.
Ethnic background was largely Irish American, some Italian Americans, and some Americans.
Was this a volunteer job?
Oh, sure. That's my trouble. I did too many volunteer jobs. During this period, I had begun a master's program at the University of Pittsburgh, actually beginning in 1951. My work was largely in the field of adult leadership. Which I later applied to volunteer activity, particularly my presidency in the National Council of Jewish Women. I will refer to this again later. In 1953, I was approached by Mr. Charles Rosenblum to accept the chairmanship of the Women's Israel Bond Committee. At this time, it was a very difficult position. The Jewish community had to be educated to the idea of investing economically in Israel. This was not philanthropy. It was for this reason that it had a rich appeal to me, because I liked the idea of helping to build industry and business so that people could become, so that the Israeli could become more self-sufficient. And after thinking about this carefully, I decided to accept the chairmanship. This year was marked by a certain amount of recession in our local in the economic picture. And so it
this
made
1953.
Right. It made the job, which of course was volunteer, I don't need to say that, a difficult one. However, I continued, and we had some good results considering the conditions. I've always been grateful that I was able to give this amount of time and devotion to Israel, a cause. I want to refer back a few years to my daughter's early years when she began to show talent and great interest in the field of painting. My husband was delighted because as a young high school student, he had been one of the outstanding art students in his class and would enjoy being invited by his art teachers, particularly the head of the art department, to her home in an unpopulated part of Squirrel Hill, where this teacher's family owned a large estate. He used to tell me how the trolley cars would ride over trestles in the countryside and how beautiful it was and how much it meant to him. He followed Lois's, our daughter's progress very closely, and I can still see his joy when she entered the first art contest at Kaufman's, and when she won 5 keys for her entries, yes.
Five keys?
Yes. That was nothing. She used to win many of them. She was a private student of Miss Mavis Bridgewater, who is art head of the Langley High School. Later, she became a protege of Henry Kerner, who was artist in residence at Chatham College, where she enrolled and received her AB. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Back.
All right. The year 1950 was very traumatic, since it marked the demise of my husband after a very short illness. However, I recognized this was now the end of a chapter in my life, and though it was now incomplete, I felt I was not going to allow myself to become depressed because fortunately I had a daughter who was growing up and approaching college age. I wanted to keep our home a happy one, and I think this was achieved. We moved almost immediately from our home in Squirrel Hill into a new apartment house, which was just completed, a townhouse.
On 5th and Shady?
On 5th and Shady Avenue. This was a very happy choice. Los finished Falk School, and although she was accepted in one of our leading private schools before finishing Falk, we decided, Lois and I, that she was not going to go there because her daddy did not believe in this type of education, which, though academically was good, great emphasis was on the social.
Where did she go instead?
She entered Alderdice. She was there for a short time and later entered a school, a university school, because I found that she had been absent a great deal during her high school years, particularly during Nate's illness, and needed to fill in where she had missed much of the work. This was, again, a good choice. She did very well here and graduated and was accepted into Chatham. She could walk from our home to Chatham College, but her last year and a half, I had her live on the campus. I felt this was very important because she's an only child, and I wanted her to have this experience, and she wanted it and was very happy while living there.
Bess, could we, before we get too far away from 1950, go back into Nate's activities a little more fully?
Well,
his organizational involvement, his community contributions.
Well, I've tried to tell you this. Jewish community relations was very, very demanding in time at that time because it was new. And he was the second president. He followed Leo Lehman. And he was asked by the National Committee of the National Jewish Community Relations to serve on it, this committee. I frequently went to conferences held by this group. It was a great pleasure to me to not only meet, but to see the type of individuals, the very high type of Jewish men who were associated with this group. Amongst them was Judge, that'll come back to me. One was Sonnenborn, but this one famous judge,
Proskauer.
Yep. See, it's beginning to block out again. And others of this caliber. Nathan was amongst his peers in this group, And he worked closely at this time with Lillian Friedberg, who became its executive chairman. About this time, Mayor Lawrence called my husband and had a conversation with him, asking him whether he'd be interested in becoming a judge of the Commonwealth Court. And I remember that in the office, in Nate's office calendar, that he had an appointment with Mayor Lawrence at the time that he took ill. He was not interested in elected office at this time because he was not really a politician and did not like many of the things that were involved. I know he would have enjoyed a judgeship because this was the kind of professional work that he could have handled very well.
Now,
Nathan's most important activity in his own estimation was his work in human relations. As a result, Mayor Lawrence was approached by him to
Mayor Lawrence
during his campaign for mayor.
Approached
Nate. Was approached by Nate to have in his platform for mayor the plan of a commission in human relations in city government. Mayor Lawrence frequently in public addresses referred to this and was grateful for Nathan's what's the word I want there?
Suggestion.
Suggestion as well as information on this subject. After the mayor was elected and this commission was established, Nathan worked very closely with Florence Reisenstein. On this commission. Others were Lewis Mason, I believe.
Now head of City Council?
Yes. And many others whose names I do not recall. This work required much time, day and night. And as I have said, my husband's law practice was a very active one and a very busy one. I have often marveled at how he could handle so many things at one time. Perhaps this wasn't the best thing, but he did it with such alacrity and ease. Oh, I forgot another thing. Oh, it's coming on. Nathan also was deputy attorney general for the state of Pennsylvania. He was during Governor Earle. Funny, I can't think for sure. I think it was. He was in charge of claims of the closed banks during the moratorium period.
Which would be 1934
or
1935.
Yeah. Did I say anything about the United Jewish Fund? I didn't. No. He was president of that. I'm telling you, it's just blocked out an important piece of work. In 1946 was as president of the United Jewish Fund. My husband wasn't too anxious to accept this, but he was approached by some of the leading Jewish members of this of the Pittsburgh community to consider accepting it, because at that time there were so many factions within the community, and it was felt that he would be a cementing factor. It was at this time, too, that he was, did I say, chairman of the National Community Committee on Christians and Jews? The National Committee of Christians and Jews. And, of course, was very much involved in this committee's work. However, the work of the United Jewish Fund was all-consuming. And he proved a very articulate leader for the Pittsburgh community. At that time, Emanuel Spector was chairman of fund collecting. He was an unusual worker, truly dedicated, and had great admiration for Nathan's abilities. Dr. Maurice Taylor was at that time executive head of the fund, which was before, I believe, it had merged with the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies. I recall the many meetings at night, as well as long telephone conversations which ensued during this period between Nathan, Dr. Taylor, and many of the communities leading citizens, Jewish communities leading citizens. I remember an incident at the time. I should say I remember various incidents which involved some of the community's leading executives in social agencies and also prominent citizens, which it required a lot of my husband's time in trying to bring understanding and peace into the situation. That covers it.
Would you like to tell us about the people with whom your husband served during that period?
Certainly. Mr. Edgar Kaufman, a prominent citizen and merchant of Pittsburgh, whose family was known for its philanthropy. Mr. Leon Falk, another prominent citizen whose family also has given liberally to community causes and needs. Mr. Emanuel Spector, who was a most devoted worker in the United Jewish Fund, was chairman of the fund and did a Herculean job. Mrs. Lillian Friedberg, whom I've mentioned before, was always on call for advice. There were many others whose names I do not recall for the moment, but this was a joint project in every way. As I said in an earlier interview, my husband was drafted actually into this job because he did not want to serve in this capacity, and only did so because he was made to feel that he would make a real contribution in bringing many who had become alienated back into the field of community activity, and in other ways contributing along these lines of cooperation. Enough?
Can you talk a little more about your acting chairmanship of the Allegheny County Scholarship Committee?
Yes. This was an entirely different experience than my experience as acting chairman of the National Catholic Jewish Women's Scholarship Committee. Here I was dealing with a very low economic group where frequently motivation for further education of the offspring was completely absent in the parents. As a result, it necessitated work with the parents, and I found it was necessary to call upon my own experiences in the social work field to bring about certain results. My emphasis, and that of the committee as well, was to enlighten the parents without antagonizing them, and to keep the relationship between the parent and child or offspring good.
How did you approach the universities?
Well, we dealt very much with the Dean of Admissions and the Allegheny County Scholarship had a long history of work with them. As a result, it was not too difficult. However, as times began to change in the whole picture of scholarship and scholarship committees, I felt strongly that this committee perhaps had already had already completed its role in the community, inasmuch as there were larger scholarship groups growing up and many other things developing. We could see the handwriting on the wall at this time. And so gradually, the work lessened until it, with the demise of certain individuals who had really been its moving force, one, Sidney Teller. The work diminished, and finally it was, what shall I say, it was finished, completely finished.
This is probably due to, Bessie, do you feel that perhaps the new interest of the people of the country, that is to say the federal government, the state government, local governments, perhaps contributed to the demise, as you put it, of the Allegheny County or the Allegheny County Scholarship Committee?
Definitely. It is what I meant when I indicated that changes were taking place. Yeah.
Bess, we know that you have made many contributions to the Council of Jewish Women. Would you recount for us some of the more memorable ones, some which you feel have left a lasting impact on your life?
Well, I did, of course, speak about my work with immigrants earlier, and its lasting impression. However, I think it's important to speak also of a period during my so-called inactive-active period in council. In 1958, I decided to go to visit Israel and Europe. First, of course, Europe. I contacted the National Council office in New York before leaving Pittsburgh, telling them of my plans and that I wanted particularly to look into Council's program with the training of social workers, the training of educators, Hebrew University High School, and the training of women, of Israeli women, for community activities. This is something I guess you don't know about. That was a remarkable thing. In Europe, I visited with several former students who had received Council's fellowships to study in the United States in the field of education and also social work. It was a great experience to meet again the people whom I had helped during my chairmanship of the overseas program under Mrs. Israel Ozeroff. It was most gratifying to see the work of these young women in their various capacities and the success that they were having with their efforts. In Israel, I contacted Council's liaison, Dr. Miriam Merom, M-E-R-O-M, who was our liaison with Hebrew University with regard to our high school training of teachers and also the Ship a Box projects, and our more recent project, the training of community women in Israel for participation in community activities. I visited in the home of one of these women, an outstanding person who was doing a great job in the city of Haifa with other Israeli women. She had come to the United States to study under one of the fellowships that we had distributed. And she certainly was showing the results of this training. Am I clear here? Dr. Meram was most helpful in helping me make contacts and giving me points of view which I would not have gotten otherwise. I was very disappointed at the time with the lack of publicity that our program had in Israel as well as in the United States. I remember having a call from a prominent woman in Butler when I was in Israel. She and her husband were there at the time. Yeah, she and her husband were visiting in Israel at the time. Mr. and Mrs. Max Jaffe, in parentheses, she told me that she had made an effort to see council projects to become informed better because they spent time in Israel almost every year for several years and continued that until recently. She said she couldn't get any information. And I had a similar experience. When I returned to New York from my trip, I immediately made an appointment with Mrs. Frank Cohen, who was then the national chairman of the overseas program. And I reported these things to her, what I had seen that were so very positive, and of course, the negative factor, the lack of publicizing of our work. I have always felt that it was a weak link in our local work. Of course, that's not true today, but time and again, during my presidency, I would be asked, what is Council doing in addition to its work in the United States for Israel? Is that all right?
We know that your first trip to Israel was in 1958, and then later you were there in 1971. Can you tell us about the contrasts?
Yes. My second trip to Israel was as a delegate to the Summit Conference. The purpose of this conference was to highlight the establishment of the new program for the disadvantaged in education. Mr. and Mrs. Adolf Robeson had just made a contribution of a building added to the Hebrew University to house this project. I will come back to this in a few minutes. But I also want to tell you how thrilled I was to see the building which now houses the John Dewey School of Education.